I'm like, oh my God, how dumb are you? She's like, oh, good point. Why don't we open mimosas and talk about it?
All right, today is Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. It is currently 5:30 p.m. I'm calling to order the meeting of the Land Use Planning Commission. Starting down on my far left, if we could have introductions for the record.
Jim Swenson, South Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Spencer Stegman, North Kitsap.
Richard Chaddock, Central Kitsap.
Tom Nevins, North Kitsap.
And Gina Buskirk from Central Kitsap. Has everybody had the opportunity to review the agenda that has been provided to us? Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I'll so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of adopting the agenda? That's unanimous. Then the next item is approval of the minutes. Huh? So we're just going to continue them? All right. So we will continue the approval of minutes, the next regular meeting, and review those for adoption later. And then the D on our agenda is the briefing and the work study to the 2018 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Update on the Final Docket Resolution and Next Steps. That is a very long title. We have Peter Best here tonight. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for coming in for this. This is to update you. We were last here in February to brief you on what the preliminary docket of amendments were adopted by the board. They've now adopted the final docket, so I wanted to update you on that, give you a little bit more information about the amendments that will be coming through, and then talk about the schedule for your consideration that begins in June. So since we don't have any members of the public, I'm going to blow through the first couple of slides here, which just provide background on comprehensive planning. One thing I will summarize is that about a quarter of the county's land area is designated for urban development in cities in the urban growth areas, where we've planned for accommodating almost 80% of new population growth. So the amendment that we are considering this year is not the big full-blown eight-year review that you went through and adopted in 2016. This is an annual amendment, so this is much more limited in scope. It is optional. The board decides whether a review is necessary and whether to open a docket of amendments. They define what areas of consideration will be open for that review. And essentially, the amendments need to complement the existing comprehensive plan rather than modify in any substantial way the plan itself. So the scoping process. Well, I guess the overall amendment is split into four phases. So we began with scoping, and then we started developing the amendments. Where we are now, we'll continue on with analysis now as well, and then consideration beginning with you in June. So for scoping, this process began back in late 2017. The department collects suggestions from staff and interested parties into a catalog of potential amendments. The board reviewed those in November, and in December adopted the first resolution establishing the initial docket. From there, we opened up an application period for site-specific applications, and we began developing county-sponsored amendments. And then in April, the board reviewed the status of those amendments and added one. We changed the status of another. None came off, so we'll get into that. So where we're at right now in the beginning of May is kind of the end of the development phase. We're finishing up writing what the actual county-sponsored amendments consist of, and we're beginning the analysis phase where we are doing the CEPA review and starting to prepare staff reports for your consideration, which will begin in mid-June and run through mid-September. And then the board consideration will run October through December for adoption in December. There's a tentative schedule there, but I'm just throwing it up now. It's in your packet, and we'll come back to that at the end of the presentation for any discussion you have. I will note that the summary schedule that was in your packet as attachment 3 was actually out of date, and I apologize, you got an old version of that. So you have handed out to you a revised version of that, which is consistent with this schedule. Okay, so as far as county-sponsored amendment goes, we're now working on 7. Several of these are kind of placeholder amendments that you would see pretty much any given year. But beginning with a non-motorized facilities plan update. So there's some minor updates that the Public Works Department wants to make, as well as the non-motorized advisory committee. And then also the Kingston community submitted a community trails plan that had been in the sub-area plan for Kingston, was removed in the adoption of the 2016 comp plan. And so this is essentially getting their plan slightly updated back into the capital facilities. Next is a review of the Kingston Urban Village Center. This is the downtown portion of Kingston adjacent to the ferry terminal. We're reviewing policies and development regulations there, specifically looking for what might be barriers to achieving the vision for developing the downtown Kingston. Third item is George's Corner. This is one of our limited areas of more intensive rural development, or LAMRDS. There is a minor boundary adjustment that we are considering there, and I'll be able to show you in detail what we're proposing. Fourth is one of our housekeeping items, just to keep the land use map and the zoning map up to date with public facility property acquisitions and dispositions over the past year or so. Item 5 is the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan. This is a 6-year plan that the Parks Department is required to update for state grant purposes. And it's essentially the 6-year, it's in part the 6-year CIP for parks. And then item 6 is a review of affordable housing policies in the housing element. We are looking at no policy changes there, but proposed strategy updates for that. And then in the final docket, this last item 7 was added. Again, a housekeeping item just to be able to incorporate any clarifying edits that we find in the comprehensive plan, not to change the intent of the plan. So the Kingston Urban Village Center on this map is the area in pink. And so it's on the to the west, where that NC is where the Village Green Center and Kitsap Regional Library are located. The ferry terminal is to the south. And the gray area with a P on it in the middle is Colicole Park, to orient you. So we are reviewing the policies in the Kingston sub-area plan, as well as development regulations that apply here. There is a Kingston design guidelines that overlays most of the UDC zone. And so we're looking at those with an advisory group that's been appointed from the area that includes downtown landowners, business owners, members of the Citizen Advisory Committee in Kingston, as well as other community folks. It's been a great working relationship with them. Yeah.
Is the intent of that under the discussion of your commentary about how you'd like 25% of our lands to be housing 80% of the people? So is it a discussion on density increase then?
Yes.
Or height change or things like that?
One of the recommendations is to increase density, as well as we're considering a height change. So the density increase is to essentially bring it on par with the adjoining commercial zones. So the UBC currently has a density between 10 and 18 dwelling units per acre. And the commercial zone in red to the northwest and the neighborhood commercial zones are 10 to 30 dwelling units per acre. They're also looking at potential changes in the use table for the zone.
For permitted.
So there'll be a package of policy and some map changes regarding UBC, and then we're working with the group through June on development regulations. this point, we're not sure that would wrap into the same consideration, but we'll at least follow on the heels of the policy changes. So the next one that I want to show you the map of was the George's Corner. So on this map, the boundary is shown in this red and with the hatching. And what we're looking at is just specifically in this southeast corner. And the situation here is the boundary was adopted, and then this parcel that there was one parcel that bordered the southeast corner was platted into four lots. Those lot lines were drawn in accordance with where the wetland buffers are located, and so they do not align with the Lammerd boundary, and we end up with one lot, which is L-shaped here, with a portion of it within the Lammerd area, zoned neighborhood commercial, but is fully encumbered by a wetland mitigation project that was done for the development. And we have another lot here, which has this slightly hourglass shape, which is not only partially in the neighborhood, in the Lammerd, but has three zones overlaying it. So the proposal here is to remove the southern portion, which is about 0.9 acres, and return that to rural residential designation, move the boundary north to align with the property line, and then to adjust the boundary around the hourglass-shaped parcel, removing the three zones, making this entire parcel within the Lammerd area. And that adds about 0.9 acres. So it's a acre for acre exchange, essentially, to align with the parcel boundaries. Our staff report is looking at the original criteria that were used to establish the boundary, making sure our analysis and recommendation are based on those same criteria. There is some clearly stated concern from the Suquamish tribe and the Port Gamble Sklallam tribe that this is either a map correction or a very technical edit to the boundary. They're concerned about precedent for expansion of Lammerds.
In my recollection, yes, this came up a year ago as a site-specific or in the discussion of comp plan and all of that. Can you refresh our memory, absolutely, for those of us that were and weren't,
yes,
yet here,
I'm glad
as to how that, because my recollection has to do with, you know, encumbering ownership, private ownership, or reducing somebody's ability that did own land, because the, what is that, it's a Rite Aid up in the corner?
There's a Rite Aid in the corner, yes.
And that they maybe own both, or can you get a little more into ownership?
Yes, well, so the three northern parcels are all owned by separate folks, I believe. Rite Aid is on the corner. This is a Starbucks in the middle. And then this is owned by another person. I can't remember if the owner is Gary Lindsay or if he was the representative for this L-shaped parcel. I apologize. I'm not sure on that. Bill Broughton. Okay. Oh, that's Gary Lindsay was the one who did the short cut. So Bill Broughton had proposed this lower parcel as a site-specific amendment for the last comp plan update. It was recommended for denial and eventually denied. It's mostly encumbered by wetlands as well as the wetland mitigation area. So we would be pulling back the Lammerd designation from the portion that overlaps that parcel is the proposal here. Thank you. Okay, so there were three areas of site-specific applications that were allowed to be submitted. We had a four-week application window and we received five applications. So in rural areas, people could apply to add a mineral resource overlay to their property. We have two applications for that. They could also add a forest resource land designation. We had no applications there. both of those are intended to be kind of open annually for resource lands. At least that's the intent at this point. And then the third area was redesignations needed for infill and redevelopment. So we explicitly did not allow any expansion of a UGA or modification of UGA boundary, but infill or redevelopment inside a UGA we did allow applications for. New this year, these types of applications are most types of applications under this category have to acquire transferable development rights in order to exercise any intensification of the land. So all those applications are in Central Kitsap and South Kitsap. And I'll go through these in detail, or a little bit more detail. So we had several very large applications, two over 100 acres. Yes, Richard.
I need to, before we discuss, let the council know I do have a conflict with regard to the Ace Paving Company, Port Orchard Sand and Gravel, and see whether the there's any objection to my sitting up here while there's a work study review of that application, or you'd like me to step down.
Is there any discussion or comment anybody wants to have regarding that?
I don't think there's any problem at this point. It's it may become a problem after the issues are go for public comment and all that.
If this does proceed in 2018, my plan would be to remove myself from consideration of that proposal.
Thank you for letting us know about that. And I agree, I don't think it's an issue for a work study, just for anything that you may have a professional connection to in the future for voting.
I apologize for that.
No, thank you very much for speaking up. So that application was submitted and will not be considered in 2018, so we don't I don't expect there to be a conflict for you. You may see that one come back in 2019. Let's see, we have in South Kitsap another large 69-acre mineral resource overlay request. So I'm going to show you some site maps and explain these a little bit more for you. So this is the Richardson application. This is located right off of Wagga Way, near the northern end of the Central Kitsap UGA. So right across the street is rural residential. There's a large church there. And this application is to expand the commercial designation back to where they've redrawn property lines using a boundary line adjustment. So the context here is the commercial designation was drawn to the first extent of the first property off of the highway, and their property's original line was originally here. They have since done a boundary line adjustment to pull it back, and so what they're requesting to essentially come on par with their adjacent properties. They've done a wetland assessment of the property, so we feel that this one is likely to be a recommendation to approve. The next one is Ace Paving, Orchard Sand and Gravel. This is a very large 109-acre site consisting of four parcels. This is, orient you here as Dickey Road. Here's the Apex Airport and the Willamette Meridian Road. So to the south here is Newberry Hill. The Central Kitsap Transfer Center for Solid Waste is in the corner. We have the Humane Society, an elementary school, and other school facilities here. There's an existing concrete plant. And this is a exhausted sand and gravel mine. And there's an active surface mine continuing to the south here. There's been some recent development, active leasing of commercial or industrial sites to the west. And the remainder of the parcels in the, I'm sorry, this one has an industrial development going on it. So the remainder parcels to the east are undeveloped. So this one is a really large site for a site-specific application. And there's the applicants are considering a couple of options. So they voluntarily kind of pulled back from consideration in 2018. And we'll be working with them to some extent over 2018 on this amendment. And they're hoping that the consideration will come back in 2019. So the next one is the Yulin Tree Farm. This is in the southwest corner of their facility. Adjoining the gray here is the city of Bremerton and the city watershed. Off this map to the south would be Kitsap Lake. And Dyes Inlet is to the west. So these are five parcels, 100 acres, that are currently forest resource. They would stay forest resource. They're requesting to put a mineral resource overlay there to mine, to quarry rock. There is a conditional use permit that's been approved already that includes this site. And there's a development agreement with the county. One of the provisions of that is that, and a condition of the conditional use permit is that they get a mineral resource overlay. So this is the process for getting that mineral resource overlay. We're utilizing some of that analysis that was done previously for the CUP, but we'll be reviewing this under the criteria and making a recommendation based on the criteria and code. The next site is another gravel mine, quarry. This is in Gorst. So the highway is coming in here, and this is the railroad bridge. As you enter Gorst, up on the hill is an existing quarry. And the request is to expand that quarry operations into these two parcels, 69 acres. The current mine is inside the urban growth area. The expansion would be just outside the urban growth area into a rural protected zone. The applicants described this as they're exhausting the resource in the existing mine, and they would, they're requesting this so they can continue to progress their existing operation through the resource on these two parcels. And they've characterized to us that there's no expansion in the size of the operation, it's just a continuation of the operation through the new resource. And then finally, the last site-specific application is the Hanley property. This is in South Kitsap. So at the top of the map here is Mile Hill. The cross street is Firkcrest. Albertsons is down the corner here. There's the corner of the city limits in the top of the map. So in the South Kitsap Fire District complex is here. It's a fire station plus their headquarters office and a training facility. Also in the neighborhood is the golf course, County Park, and there's a large school complex down here in this urban low designation. So this is currently designated urban high. It's being used as a roofing contractor storage facility. Roofing business operates out of here, which is a non-conforming use to the zone. Their request is to change this to a commercial designation. The contractor storage yard is also non-conforming use to that zone. So we've indicated that we're likely to recommend denial of this application as requested. In our staff report, we're also analyzing an alternative of designating this industrial, which would allow for a contractor storage yard. And so we'll include our analysis on that. So those are the five sites. Are there other questions?
On the Hanley property, being that they're operating out of compliance, are they dealing with the financial result of that? Are they being
so? So there is a code compliance investigation occurring on the property regarding recent development activity that they've done. That has brought to light a question about whether the use was ever legally established. So that's currently under investigation. I share that because that's partially relevant to the consideration of the designation change. They are independent decisions. The code compliance is an administrative decision, and obviously this is legislative. But a designation and zone change could be a legitimate way to address a nonconforming use. We have to review it in accordance to the criteria in the code for consistency with the comp plan. So being a very small site, this is just over an acre, and the other types of uses that could be allowed here under an industrial designation, we're analyzing that and likely to recommend denial on this. The outcome of the code compliance case is still unknown at this point, and if their intent is to stay on the site, if we can determine that they were legally established and they're a legally existing non-conforming use and they're allowed to continue their operation and even do some minor types of expansion to facilitate their use of the land, but a change to another type of intensive use would not be allowed, or a significant expansion of their operation that would be incompatible with the neighborhood would not be allowed. So the administrative process is moving forward, and we'll continue to review this as they've requested for commercial and look at an alternative for industrial.
So I recall that there was sort of a design intent that we don't create islands.
Right.
So for someone to say, hey, why don't you make us an island so we're not illegal anymore, that, you know.
Right. Okay. Yes, there are a number of issues here. So there's a kind of a mix of zoning here in a piano key fashion, which is, it's not good practice, both on Fircrest and on Mile Hill. So those were issues staff had identified in maybe in more of an area-wide review in a future comp plan update. And then you're right, just changing this 1 acre is a spot zone. So that's one of the factors we're considering in our analysis. Yeah. Other questions about any of the 5 applications? Okay. So back to the schedule. So we're wrapping up our CEPA reviews and starting to draft our staff reports. So we expect that we could come to you for work study in mid-June. We have available in the schedule a second work study if needed, and 2 dates for public hearings if we need 2 dates. And then in August, a work study. In September, we have time in the schedule for 2 work studies to develop recommendations and findings. So for an annual amendment, strikes me as a very generous schedule, and wanted to hear any feedback that you had as to if there's any significant conflicts you're aware of, or if you have particular feelings about being able to meet this, or a desire to cut some of these out and get the work done in fewer meetings. So I wanted to open it up for any comments or discussion you might have about schedule. Realize it's during the summer.
I don't have any issues with it myself. It's not like we're seeing a bunch of additional meetings. We're always planning for 2. Usually we have 2 a month, and then public hearings sometimes on top of that. So it doesn't really veer from what we're expecting and what we signed up for anyways, which I appreciate.
Yeah, great. Past practice, usually your pushback, I'll pick on KHBA, for example, right, that some of those folks tend to say they shoved it down our throat, we didn't have enough time to respond or review in between these meetings. You mentioned this feels generous, feels fine to us, but you have experience with some of those developer type organizations that tend to say that. Does this feel modified based on past experience or pretty similar to?
So department's guidelines is to try to provide at least a 60-day comment period for public comment and review. So that brings the comment period tentatively ends at that last public hearing date. And we've been briefing and informing folks all along through the process, so hopefully it's not a surprise to the folks who really want to pay attention to this. By contrast, we're required to do a 30-day public comment period. So we're trying to be more generous, and so this certainly isn't the end of it. So there'll be another comment period, another public hearing before the board as well.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're being pretty careful about the George's Corner Lambert alteration of the boundary. I do remember that episode. And as I do recall, there was a significant wetland in the direction that this alteration is going. So I don't have the notes of how that went. Because that was how many years ago? 15? But it was accepted by the Growth Management Hearing Board as passable. But I am sure that there might be some folks out there who will be paying close attention to this, and I don't know their position or anything, but moving in the direction of the wetland is probably dicey. So I'm hoping that everyone gets advance word.
Yes, there will be advance words. So because that is very localized, we're going to do some noticing specific to the area in addition to our broadcast noticing. I know there are some interested parties lists I found from back then, and to the extent I can, I'd like to notify those folks of this so that we're being inclusive. But there is a long history that I've been digging through. I have several pages of just dates of all the activity that's happened through various comprehensive plan amendments, processes, and all the Lambert boundary review process that went. So it is complex, and that's why I was careful to reiterate that we're going back to the same criteria that were used, because it was heard by the board, the hearings board, and trying to be very careful that this is an adjustment to the boundary, not an expansion of the Lambert.
And there's also some state law about altering Lambert boundaries that increase capacity, and I don't know if this increases capacity. So,
right. Yep. Well, we're going to be careful to address all of that in our staff report. So, Aaron's question about public participation kind of brings me to my conclusion, which was in your packet is some of the materials that we're using for outreach. We have an online open house that we keep up to date regularly that provides a full archive for folks, an explanation of the process. So all those eventual latecomers into the process can catch up and figure out where we are and how they can participate. In addition, we have a very large email notification list for folks who subscribe to the county's comprehensive plan update list. And on top of that, there's a whole outreach plan that we're developing for June through December. We'll be providing some handouts to you as ambassadors to the community that you can utilize to be able to just share some brief information and how they can learn more about the project. The other thing I wanted to let you know is I don't know what past practice has been with you on comp plan amendments, but this is going to be a large amount of material with this number of amendments. So we're going to provide to you in a three-ring binder all of the material at once and update that as we go if there are any changes needed. So one thing to carry back and forth, and we're all on the same page.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Kara Ann would thank you.
Yes.
Very, very big on that.
Okay. Good. So that's the end of my presentation. Are there any other questions or comments about the comp plan.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is an administrative update.
Good evening. Jim Bolger, Assistant Director, Department of Community Development. I don't have a large administrative update or a lengthy one for tonight. I did want to bring up the upcoming meeting that we have scheduled before the Board of County Commissioners to review the annual plan, the 2017 annual plan, which is a code requirement that the Planning Commission provides that basically identifies the activities over the previous year of the Planning Commission. So we have a half hour scheduled for Monday during one of their morning briefing sessions. And the schedule is from 11 to 11:30. I wanted to take this opportunity, one, I think we've heard of from two folks so far that you will be present. I don't know if there are any others that can give us a head count at this point. I don't know who the two are. But
no, I'll be there, but I'm just the time that I saw earlier, and the latest one I saw was 10 a.m.
That's when the briefing actually starts. There are a number of topics that they get briefed on, and yours is calendared for starting at 11 o'clock. It's a public meeting, so you can come at 10 o'clock and sit through it, or you can come in right at 11 to start. Oftentimes, they're not spot on with their scheduling, so it's scheduled to start at 11. It sometimes could start earlier. Oftentimes when we know who's coming and if you're not there, the board will take a brief recess until folks show up. So that's why we'd like to get a head count for as many of you.
10:45 safe, or do you want
10:45 is probably great. Okay. Yeah, and a lot of times we'll, for those of us that aren't involved in the actual presentation that's going on at any particular time, we'll just kind of muster by the coffee window just out here until they open the door and one group goes out and we would go ushering in when it's ready.
I planned it.
So Aaron will be here, Spencer, Tom.
I had answered yes.
Okay.
I shifted it, so I may be a little late.
Okay.
So don't wait.
Okay. And then Jim, you're going to be there?
And as of right now, I have court. So,
okay.
If something changes,
I hope you have a good attorney and you get off scot free.
Only right.
Okay. So that's great. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up in relationship to that was I don't anticipate that the review of the annual report is really going to take a ton of time because that's really a look back. And I think the board is already, they've been provided the annual report. I think there's going to be more interest, and what I think the department would be interested in is really having kind of more of a discussion that's forward-looking. What does this next year entail? What opportunities or what major projects do we see coming down the pipe? Are there any major projects that could be identified that you may want to have joint hearings on? And this would be an opportunity to kind of discuss those types of activities. My read from the board, I haven't heard of them raising any concerns over the current Planning Commission in terms of your recommendations to the department that we've been moving on with any of the big projects like the CAO and those kinds of things. So I don't think there's any kind of real major tuning that needs to be done between the board and the Planning Commission, but I'd like to be able to go in there and have some topics kind of teed up. And if there's anything you'd like to discuss, if you'd let me know right now, we can make sure that we can kind of manage the conversation so that we can get to those topics.
One that pops into my head, just because of what I do for a living, is the transition and the end of the grace period and how it's going fully online with regard to permit submittals.
Okay.
My guess would they wouldn't mind an update or a discussion.
Okay.
About that or what could be improved.
Okay. That doesn't necessarily lend itself to the Planning Commission's role and responsibilities,
true,
but we can certainly provide you with that information if it doesn't get brought up during the meeting itself.
Okay. Yeah.
So along those lines, and not necessarily for the Monday meeting, is there any kind of topical things that the Planning Commission would like to communicate with us so that for planning purposes, we can do enrichments. We've had special presentations done before. We've done trainings, say, with the prosecutor's office when they've come in. if there are any kind of items that you would like to get more information on that may require us to go out and find some expertise to bring in, or any kind of a more formal educational opportunity for the Planning Commission, please let us know so we can kind of get that organized and make sure we have the resources to do a good job in that area. So I can't anticipate anything coming up right now, but as we get into some of the new requirements under GMA, like buildable lands and how that's changing into the future, we also have new guidelines from Department of Ecology on shoreline master planning, and so that will be kind of the next big lift, I think, for the Planning Commission after the comp plan amendment this year. That's scheduled to be done in 2020, so you'll be hearing more about that in 2019, which, as we sit here on May 1st, is going to be here before we know it. So,
is there any updated information with regard to, you know, the Hearst moratorium, you know, on wells and that being lifted at the state level? And or
well, there is no moratorium anymore. I mean, we are issuing building permits. We are charging a $500 fee. There is a notice to title on these connections that are going in on wells that were drilled subsequent to January 19th. So there is a planning process that came along with some of that legislation that we have not heard from the Department of Ecology, who's to be convening these kind of watershed-based plans that need to be developed. In my personal conversations with Department of Ecology, kind of inquiring about what's your plan, guys, we're sitting out here, I was told that you know, some of that planning will look at mitigation projects that would allow continued development. They may adjust the fees associated with connections to permit-exempt wells, and they may also adjust the volumes that would be allowed under those connections. But Department of Ecology in that legislation was identified to hire 17 new positions to get them up to speed and running, and the governor didn't sign the final operating budget until April 1st, and so it's going to take Ecology a while to bring 17 new people on board, and I think they're still trying to figure out just where those people are going to go and what specifically they're going to do. So there is a lot of interest in a lot of the counties. Two Fridays ago, I met with Snohomish, Pierce, Jefferson, which isn't affected at all by the Hearst decision, Pierce, King, Snohomish, and Clark counties, and we had a nice long discussion, and we were all like, I wonder what the next step is going to be. So we're actually kind of lucky that some of those eastern counties are going to have three different programs based on this legislation that they're going to have to administer because of those watersheds are all in different levels of planning and information and kind of water resource management issues. So it will be a one-size-fits-all for all four counties. It will be in our process.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So we're back. We're down to the final item, which is there anything for the good of the order before we adjourn tonight?
Yes, I might just ask Mr. Ward to give us a brief overview of how the process is going on the code evaluation meetings.
Well, that was a sly question since you were in the room for all of them. Dave Ward, Department of Community Development. So we've been meeting with a diverse group of folks regarding prioritization of future code changes. Tom Nevins is part of the group, as is Joe Phillips. We also have representatives from the environmental community, from KBA, from representing agriculture, representing community interests and aging in place and things of that nature. So it's kind of a nice diverse group, very well-informed, very community-spirited group, which is exactly what we had hoped for. And we spent the first, we had the second meeting yesterday. The first meeting was the Monday prior. And the way I would describe it is we spent the first meeting basically getting the whole group calibrated as to exactly what it is that we're trying to do and what the expectations are. And so everybody has a kind of a clear understanding and a consistent understanding across the group of what it is that we're trying to get to in terms of developing criteria by which we can prioritize code updates into the future. The meeting that we had yesterday was spent mostly brainstorming solutions or potential filters that we could be using as criteria to prioritize the code. This was intended to be kind of an open, free flow of ideas. There was a lot of very high level discussion about everything you could imagine related to urban and civic planning. And a lot of ideas got thrown onto a bunch of sticky notes and onto the whiteboard. And so staff are now tabulating all of that, and we're doing a little bit of clustering. And then as we go into the subsequent meetings from here on out, we'll be doing a little bit of narrowing and then also trying to distill that brainstorming exercise, all the results of brainstorming, down into what can we really use as tangible criteria for prioritizing our code and for acting as a filter for what gets moved forward and what can get pushed to the back burner. I'm confident with the group that we have that we'll get a good solution. We do not have a preconceived notion of what that solution will look like, so it'll be interesting to see what the group result will be. The first application of it, we're hoping that we'll be able to apply it to the list that we've talked and shared with you all, that we've shared with you the list of about 150 to 200 ideas for code amendments. That list is changing on a regular basis because we do have a portal open on the website right now, so anybody with public access to the website can actually suggest code update ideas. So that list has the potential of growing very quickly, and we're hoping that this process that we develop can be streamlined enough that we can process those and start to filter them. It's just part of our effort at trying to provide open, transparent access and opportunity for people to make suggestions and to have some ideas, and then we can filter them through this criteria and see how it works. Did you have any specific questions or comments?
Oh, just a question for the Planning Commission. Wondering if there's any interest in reading the very excellent meeting notes that are produced as a result of this. It's digital and could be sent around if there's interest.
Yeah, we'd be happy to share the meeting notes with the commission. Sure.
It might be interesting just in regard to your comment about, unique presentations and such, that maybe you guys at some point down the road come and, present as committee as to what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we do intend to do that. Whatever criteria we come back, we cook up in this committee, we will definitely come back to this commission and to the Board of County Commissioners as well to talk through that. And so everybody has a sense of what are the things that we are doing to that we are using to filter our code updates. We've been pretty clear that this is a community effort, and one of the reasons for the diversity in the community is that this is intended to help everybody make life better here in Kitsap County. And it doesn't really matter what stakeholder group or constituency group you're part of, we're all part of this community. And so we're hoping that this will help bring some of the community values into the selection process. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order? All right, with that, it is 6:18, and we will adjourn.